quick, get your family together. Let's watch book, chapter, and verse this week as we talk about some biblical principles for the family.
Words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words.
Wonderful words of life.
Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse. My name is Jeff Archie, and I'm honored you've joined me today as we simply take God's Word, the wonderful words of life, and look at Book, Chapter, and Verse. And each week we spend time looking at God's Word, studying the truth, and I'm thankful that you've chosen to join me today. Now stay with me in this broadcast because as we conclude, we'll share with you some material that you can have absolutely free courtesy of Book, Chapter, and Verse. And I'm glad you've joined me today. Thank you for your time and for your interest as we open up and study the precious book divine, and by it is given by inspiration. Now our Book, Chapter, and Verse today is similar to that of our last broadcast, to where we talked about the wise man and the foolish man, where in Matthew 7 and verse 24, Jesus said, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man." From that parable we learn that when storms arise and the floods will come, there is a blessing to be built on the rock of Christ. Both men built houses, but they built on different foundations. One did rock, one did sand. And when the storms came, the one on the rock will stand. When our storms of life come upon us, especially in our families, what a blessing to be on the rock of Christ. I read some material concerning 30 plus years of research dealing with 24,000 families to see what makes families strong. Six qualities rose to the top. And of course, the more that I looked at them, the more I could see that there were good biblical qualities worthy for us to adapt. Now, by way of review on our last program, we considered only three of our six biblical principles for the family. Here are the three we looked at in our last program. One was communicate with each other, loving and listening and speaking all together. We noted from Matthew 22, 37 through 39, how that we should love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of thy strength. And in so doing, we would love our neighbor as ourselves. That's loving and listening and, of course, speaking or doing. The second principle we saw that was a great thing was communicate, or rather, to be complementary with each other. When we communicate, we complement. We looked at such passages as Philippians 2, 2 through 4, and we were reminded of the golden rule in Matthew 7 and verse 12, and how applying that in families would make such a big difference. And the third we looked at was a commitment to each other. And that was due to our commitment in Christ. When husband and wife come together as one, according to Matthew 19:5, there is a commitment that is made before God who instructs us in marriage. Matthew 6:33 reminds us, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So that again, that's from Matthew 6 and verse 33. So we looked at these first three C's in our previous program. Now let me mention, if you would like to also view that program, that if you'll contact us with the info at the end of our broadcast, we'll be glad to try to help you to get that program and to view it as well. But for now, let's consider our last three biblical principles as we consider these biblical principles for the family. Our next letter C, calculate with each other. Now, in all the survey of the 24,000 strong families, notice this phrase here. In all areas of their lives, meals, work, and recreation, They structured their schedules to spend time together. Now, folks, this is a hard thing to do, but once you get it started, it flows carefully. So let's see if we can help you with some scheduling here. Number one, learn carefully. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, Paul has what I think is an inspired plan of managing time. When he says in verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now, redeeming the time means you buy up the opportunity. You buy up for yourself. You make the most of your time. You control it. And we do so when we are wise, which is attained by knowledge. Verse 17, understanding what the will of the Lord is. So we are able to learn and to see how to better use our time. Learn carefully and let's live practically. Let's put some things in a priority, if you will. Let us put God first in our lives. Let's make certain that everything we do has God in the hub of our wheel of life that keeps things turning. Matthew 6:33, as we noted moments ago, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Seek first the kingdom of God. Make Him your first priority. And then let's ask one question when we start calculating our time and everything together. Ask yourself, will this, and you fill in the blank, whatever it is, help me glorify God and not take away from Him? Will what I am about to engage in help me to glorify God? Will it take away from my time with the church? Will it take away from my time with God's people? Will it pull me away from my faith? Let's give you an example. There's nothing wrong with athletics. I'm sure we would all agree there. There's nothing wrong with children playing baseball, softball, football, basketball, soccer. But you know, a lot of times families will allow those events to pull them away from worship. Dear friend, when you allow that, you're chipping away at your faithful foundation, and that's hard to get back. I'm reminded of a beloved couple that their son, his coaches, and fellow families know that if a tournament time goes over on a Sunday, he'll catch up with them later. He's going to be at worship. And he has that set in his mind and heart because as well as we think our boys and girls are in sports, and there are some that are very good, the odds of professional playing are very low. And we have to ask ourselves, is it worth it? Just put God first in all that we do. Now let's move this. Family. When I look at Ephesians 5, 22 through 33, and then I could also go into Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 of husband and wife and children. Ask yourself this next question when something comes up. Will this, and you fill in the blank, affect my family for positive or good? Sometimes there can be something in the family that actually can affect everyone there, not for good, but for worse. Think with me. If we have God first in all that we do, well, we may choose to be very active in the Lord's work, but yet we understand family needs time together too. It's been very tragic through the years that maybe you have, and I've known of preacher friends that family would struggle because while he was doing the Lord's work, it was taking away time from family. I am so encouraged that through the years, especially where I labor in congregations of the church similar to where I labor, have become more conscientious of the need of family and the need of family time. Not that they weren't before, but to make a more concerted effort to strengthen families within, starting with the preacher's family. So we've got the priority. We're calculating just right. God first, family second. But let's think about work. Now, 1 Timothy 5:8 reminds us that we are to work and to provide for our own, and if we don't, we are worse than an unbeliever or an infidel. We need to work to provide for our family. There's nothing wrong with hard work. But ask yourself this question. Will this job help my family and not take away from my relationship with God? I've known of good men that would work schedules that would pull them away from God, and sometimes the family could also be pulled too. We need to think on this and set our priorities right, and if we don't move from God and make our decisions based upon our dedication to Him first and foremost, He will provide. I guess you could say the question would be from Luke 14, have we counted the cost? Let's think about that by way of an application in Luke 14, verses 28 through 33. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. Have we counted the cost? Sometimes we fail to calculate accurately and we jump right into something and we jump right into it without looking at the whole, and then as we get so involved, we start pulling the time away, and a lot of times it's pulled away from God to make that thing fit. But if we stopped, carefully calculated, take a look, God, family, work, and look at it. That's a biblical principle. And you can have a stronger family if we'll just take a moment to calculate. Now let's go with our second biblical principle of the day for the family. We'll call this one conquering with each other. Of the 24,000 strong families in this study, here was an attribute that stood out. They were willing to take a bad situation, see something positive in it, and focus on that. They had an attitude of conquering with each other. That's a beautiful thought. I like that. They took a bad situation, but they saw something positive in it, and that was their focus. Now, when that becomes their focus, that makes the bad situation wear down more, and we grow. Let's think about this with the parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 35, think about the parable of the unforgiving servant and how this applies so much to the family. This is worthy of reading, worthy of considering. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Let me stop here. Can you imagine? He no longer owed it. his Lord, his King, wiped it off the books. He could go home starting fresh, debt free. But is that how it turned out? Well, we pick back up now with verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, much less. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Here's the conclusion. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Imagine a family that conquers together, that forgives one another, that work through their challenges and their problems, and they conquer together, and when that problem arises, they'll look for that one positive area, and they'll work on that, and they'll address it, and they'll move onward with it. You know, we're all weak. We all fall short. You know, a father may be a father in a household, but he's not perfect. A mother is not perfect. Children are not perfect. Husbands are not perfect. Wives are not perfect. We're all going to make mistakes, but if we work through them and look for the positive attribute, where can we build off this? That's what makes family stronger. Sure helps when we're able to forgive one another. James 5:16 says, Confess your faults one to another and pray one to another that you may be healed. Pray one for another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Imagine if families that are Christian families, families that serve the Lord, pray for one another, conquer one another. Nothing's going to top this family. We're going to calculate carefully, and we're going to conquer these things together. We're going to forgive one another and help one another. You know, there's an old saying, it's not biblical, but it's a pretty good saying. To err is human, to forgive is divine. So we move from calculate, and then we move to conquering. Families are going to stick together. But let me give you the last biblical principle that stands true of these 24,000 families. The last letter C, Christ for each other. I mean, these strong families considered themselves highly religious. You know, I see that in my labors through the years, over 30 years of preaching. I've seen those things that when a husband and wife both are faithful to the Lord and are serving Him, devotionals in their homes, have their children at Bible study and worship, and are very involved in the work of the church, the percentages go very high for that family to be strong and dedicated to God. Now, when a mother or a father is just moderately involved, they pretty much will attend worship and Bible school, but that's about it. That dedication starts to dwindle a little bit in children. If one parent is faithful and one is not, it dwindles even more for children. There are exceptions to the rule. I grew up in a household where my daddy did not attend worship, but my mother did. And it's through her she instructed me, and I learned through her. Years later, my father did obey the gospel. I was thankful that I had a part in that, in baptizing him into Christ. But let's go back to when we began this broadcast, the last time and even today, when we referred to a wonderful text in Matthew 7. Let's look at that whole context together and see the beauty of Christ in our lives. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You know, when I think about that, here's the simple difference. When I look at this, first of all, I can see that both men heard. Both men built. Both men had rain, floods, winds, everything. One man's fell, one man's stayed up. The one stayed up was built on a rock, solid, can't budge. One built his house on sand that would shift it. Reminds me of that old hymn that said, some build their house on the ever-drifting sand. Some on their fame or their treasures or the land. Mine's on the rock that forever shall stand. Jesus, the rock of ages. If families hear the sayings of Jesus and will do them not, when the floods come, don't be surprised when the house falls. When the challenges come upon husband, wife, children, and the floods come and you're not upon the rock, the storm is going to shift you any way you wish to go. And it doesn't have to be that way. God is the architect, the builder, and the sustainer of the home. And if you and I will but follow His word, and be obedient to His word, His will, and His way, and look at these biblical principles we've talked about, we'll be able to maneuver our families within a world that will come after us with every fiber of its being, and a devil that will pursue us and wish to hurt us. As we've mentioned before, divorce rates would plummet. Abuse rates would plummet. Unwanted pregnancies would plummet. Children, drugs, alcohol usage, juvenile delinquents, halls and courtrooms full of young people and families, all that would plummet if we built on the rock and the strength of these families had themselves prepared, had themselves ready, had themselves strong of whatever might come. My friend, today I want you to resolve to build on the rock. Make your mind up today that I am going to follow God's will and God's way, and I'm going to work on this, and I'm going to improve the life that I have. That's the beauty of hearing this word, believing it, and allowing our belief to move us toward repentance, as Jesus taught us in Luke 13:3. To confess Him as the Son of God, as the eunuch did in Acts 8:37, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, and to crucify the old man of sin, Romans 6, and be raised to walk in that newness of life, a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Love that verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And then you have the impact in your family. Think on that. Let's enjoy this hymn together, and I'll be back shortly.
Precious memories, how they linger.
three today and three in a previous broadcast about six biblical principles for the family. If you love all six of these together, let us hear from you. May God bless you.
Wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words,
wonderful words of life.
A very special greeting once again to our WTNB viewers. Book, chapter, and verse is here on WTNB each week, 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, 6:30 on Tuesday evening. And we're honored that you've joined us. This program is brought to you by your friends at the Eastside Church of Christ on Wildwood Avenue in Cleveland, Tennessee. And we'd love for you to join us at any or all of our assemblies. We also offer through Book, Chapter, and Verse free Bible study material. And all you have to do is let us know that you would love to have some Bible study material to work on in the privacy of your own home. You can write us at 252 Wildwood Avenue Southeast in Cleveland, Tennessee, 37311. Email us at bcverse@gmail.com or simply call us at 423-472-0901. And we'll fill your request absolutely free. For our WTNB viewers, we'd like to send you a free copy of The Spiritual Sword, material that is written by good men that appreciate book, chapter, and verse in their studies, and will do the same for you as well. Now, I know you're thinking, a religious broadcast with free material? That is true, kind friends. We don't want your money. We just want the opportunity to study God's Word with you. And we trust that you'll do that with us each and every week on Book, Chapter, and Verse. Lord willing, we'll see you next time.
Wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words,
wonderful words of life.